Sermon given at funeral services for Elder E. M. Whiting. At St. John's, Arizona, August 20, 1934 at 2:00 p.m. Address of Elder George Albert Smith. Although a stranger to this good family, most of them at least, I am glad to be here with them at this time, and with them express my gratitude to the Lord, that men can live on the earth, and have it truthfully said of them the beautiful things that have been told us today about this good man. It has rarely been my privilege to attend a funeral where so unstinted a tribute has been paid, and I think you all feel and know that what has been said has been from a desire to paint a picture briefly of the righteous life of a great and good man who has been called home. What has been said of this family must be treasured by them. No university in all the world could grant a diploma to cover the virtues that this man has portrayed in his life. And now that he has gone home, he will receive from a just judge the reward that he is entitled to. It must be a wonderful comfort to those in whose veins flows the same blood as flowed in his veins to know that there has gone before them a son of the living God who has earned the right to go home by reason of his faith and devotion. We have referred to his accomplishments, and wonderful tribute has been paid to this family who looked to him, but I would like to say that the good woman who sits here who has survived him is entitled to all the credit that this man is entitled to for this family, who wouldn't have been reared without her help. The good things that have been instilled in their lives could not have been placed there without her help. And that is the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ to me, the virtues that good men and women of the church, who raise families, bequeath to their children. They are born heirs to this blessing. Man is not without the woman or woman without man in the Lord, was written a long time ago, and I have never known a great family who have lived lives that are worthy of emulation, who have not had a great mother. So today I stand here, though not acquainted with this family, to pay tribute to the good woman who remains, and to invoke the blessing of the Heavenly Father upon her that the joys and comforts that she has had in life, as the mate of this good man, may remain with her during her few remaining years, and then that she may go to meet him, and gain the crown of jewels and the eternal joys that await them together there. There are several things that could be said at this time, but I think, in view of this audience, who have heard of the many virtues of this man, it might be appropriate to call your attention to the fact that every virtue he possessed is a result of living the commandments of God and living the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of them, the things you prize, the beautiful tributes that have been paid to his life, the sterling characteristics, are due to the teachings of the Heavenly Father, which have been given to men here on earth. A number of years ago I stood as I am standing now near the casket of a man who was surrounded by a large posterity. He had lived to be 80 years of age, and there were nearly 200 descendants to mourn his loss. He had been so anxious that they should miss none of the good things of life. He taught them, not only by word of mouth, but by example, the things he wanted them to observe in life, and, as if not enough, then he called a group to his bedside in his last illness, and said to them, "I am going home now, I am going back to my Heavenly Father to report. I want all my children and my children's children to follow me, because if they go where I am going, they will always be happy. But I want to say that some of you have not done the things I wanted you to do. You have failed in some particulars, though you have done much that is commendable. And I want to say to you, do as I have taught you to do, and I am saying that, as your father, unless you do these things you cannot come where I am going. And I am saying to these people now, if they want to go where this good man is going, there is only one way, and that is to follow his lead, and if you do that, you may be sure that your reward will be in the celestial kingdom. There are many people on occasions of this kind who suffer terribly because they do not understand the purpose of death. There are many who rejoice in life. When a child is born, they rejoice and thank the Lord, and if it so happens that the child is taken by death, they weep and remonstrate. When I find a man who has reached the age in life that this man has, in my mind it is a time for tears, but not tears of sorrow, but tears of gratitude, that our Heavenly Father has been blessed with such a son. People don't realize that, though birth is a wonderful thing, without death we couldn't go to live with our Heavenly Father. Death is as important as life. It is a part of the great program. Brethren and sisters, We are all living eternal life. It is for us to say whether we shall live in one place or another. We have our free agency. The Lord will not compel us. But He has placed before us this great volume of Scripture. He has brought forth this great American volume of Scripture in the latter days to show us the way. And again in the last days He has given us this other great volume of Scripture revealed to the prophet Joseph Smith. Now, at your parting with this dear one, I stand here to congratulate you with all my heart, that you live in this day and age of the world, that you came through such a lineage as this, that the Lord means this good woman to have the companionship of this man through eternal life. It is not the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ only to bring us together in communion in this life, but it is to bring us eternal happiness, and to tell us how to conform our life not only that peace and happiness shall be with us here, but that when our eyes are closed and we go back to paradise, to await for the time when we will be resurrected from the dead, and our loved ones are waiting to be resurrected, and we stand before the judgment bar of God and receive the blessing we have earned, because that is all we will get. What we have earned, it shall be said to us, "Well done, my good and faithful son, my faithful daughter, you shall have your desires, because of the righteousness of your lives." So, brothers and sisters, with all my heart I congratulate you. I have been glad to be here on this occasion, and hear the fine things said of this man. I am happy that on Thursday of this week, we are going to Brigham City, and there place a monument, a marker to the people who came there in the early days and settled that land, and do their best to subdue it. But on account of conditions there and the impossibility of being able to control the water of the Little Colorado, were not able to stay. But they were called on a mission and went there, and if nothing more had happened at Brigham City than the union of Brother Whiting and his wife and the posterity that followed him, the mission was fulfilled. So next Thursday, when I stand on that ground, it will be sacred to me, because of the lives of those who gave their lives, that the message of God would be understood. May you be blessed in your homes, that your lives may be enriched by the memory of the life of this man. He may have made mistakes in his life and you may know of them, but let them be forgotten and laid away with him in his grave. The prophet Joseph Smith said, "When I am gone, you will probably hear things of me, or of something that I did, and wonder why I did it. I want to leave my testimony with you, that I did the best I knew, how with the limited knowledge I had at that time. If I had any virtues, I ask you to remember them. Bury my faults with me in the tomb, but let my virtues live with you. So, good people, let the virtues of this man live with you and your posterity, and it won't be long until the reunion of your family will come, and then his joy will be what you have been able to make of your lives. His joy will be in proportion to the good you have been able to accomplish, and the lives you have lived. God bless you. May His Spirit abide with you. While your mother lives, be good to her. Try to take the place of her husband. Life will be as bright as it has been to her if you will do your part. As long as she lives, meet together once a year if you can, under the roof tree where she resides, and recount to yourselves the virtues and incidents of the life of the man you love as your father, and if you do this, petty things will not come between you, but you will love one another, and the joy that has filled your lives heretofore in the life of this good man and his wife will come to you and be with you always. And I ask that it may be so. I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen."